walking, you doggone long-eared galoot.
Just a minute, partner. You can't talk to me like that. Them's fighting words.
Them's fighting words.
I dare you to step over this line.
Okay, I'm a stepping.
All right. This is lawyer talk. As you might expect, we are taking on fighting words. Now, what's funny about this is anybody my age is going to know what this is. I think there's a lot of folks, my law students who occasionally appear here are probably going to be like, what are you talking about? Well, this is old Yosemite Sam and Bugs Bunny talking about, for those who used to watch these cartoons, they were awesome. And I think, interestingly, they were made actually for adults. I think they initially were created to run as intermission type cartoons, or like if you go to the movies, you would see these cartoons first. Check me if I'm wrong. Leave it in the comments. But I think that's why they were there. But adults used to watch these things, and there's a lot of adult content. And what's interesting about this one is they're talking about fighting words. And, you know, I had some reaction. We did an episode, I think, last week or the week before about time, place, and manner restrictions on free speech. And I got some questions about that, and it sort of led me to think, all right, let's do a little bit more on this free speech. And by the way, I am no expert on free speech. There are lots of folks who are. I'm just a lawyer playing lawyer talk here on TV or YouTube, whatever. But I do know a thing or two about the case law, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. There's a fighting words case that goes way back. It sort of starts in 1942, Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire. A guy named Walter Chaplinsky, a Jehovah's Witness, was distributing religious literature on a public sidewalk out in Rochester, New Hampshire. A crowd grew restless, and disturbance occurred, and there comes a city marshal who escorts Chaplinsky away. And while walking, Chaplinsky encounters the marshal and called him a GD racketeer. I'm not going to use the word because those may find it offensive. Those might be fighting words to somebody. Anyway, then he goes on to say, after calling him a racketeer, he says, "You're a damned fascist." Immediately he was arrested. Now, this is the passive voice. So they arrested him for a law prohibiting any offensive, derisive, or annoying word to any other person who is lawfully in any street or other public place. This, as you might imagine, goes all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And the court basically says, all right, you got a right to free speech, but them there are fighting words, and that is not protected speech. And this was a 9-0, I think. Ruling that this was not protected speech. What's interesting about this is called the fighting words doctrine. And I'm bringing this up because today I was talking last time about these YouTube videos where people are, it was a guy holding a poster about abortion, and then you had Jehovah's Witnesses. Anyway, the authorities at a public university were trying to move the guy or get rid of, or say his posters didn't fit the right size. But another thing I'm seeing a lot on YouTube are people, whether they're encountering cops or whether they're saying, or whether or maybe I'll put it this way. There are folks out there who believe that speech cannot offend them, and that becomes fighting words. So this is what we might call in modern parlance hate speech. And it sort of got me thinking about whether the government could actually ban, consistent with the First Amendment, hate speech. Now, I know there's other governments doing this. There's other countries doing it. England has done this, for instance, and you hear these things. You hear some of this happening in England. And it's funny because a few years ago, I argued with somebody who said, nah, that'll never happen in England. And I'm like, well, you know, it sort of is. And now it really is. Can it happen here? I hope not. And I don't think it can happen as a result of Chaplinsky. And I'm going to tell you why. First, Chaplinsky, it said the test for fighting words under Chaplinsky was the court defined fighting words as those which, by their very utterance, inflict injury and tend to incite an immediate breach of the peace. But later on, the court sort of reasons that it can't be a subjective standard. It's not like what is the person hearing the words thinking. It would be what would a reasonable person under that is there think about it. So that's the first difference. So, you know, one of the most hotbed topics is misgendering. So me not using your pronoun that you want, or me calling you a man if you're identifying as whatever it is. I'm not commenting on that. But you see these people, and there was a recent video where I saw somebody at a college campus really going crazy about being misgendered. And the question is whether that's fighting words and can be criminalized? And the answer is no. Under Chaplinsky, it would have to be a reasonable person, not what somebody actually takes from it. And it's a distinction that matters. The other thing that makes Chaplinsky different these days is that the court is all but, by my research and opinion, the court has all but eliminated the fighting words doctrine. You know, the last real, there's been a couple cases we should talk about. In RAV versus City of St. Paul, that was sort of the last major ruling on fighting words. A teenager was charged under a local hate speech ordinance after burning a cross on a black family's lawn. The city argued that the act constituted, quote, fighting words. Supreme Court struck down the ordinance, ruling that the government cannot selectively ban fighting words based on their content or viewpoint. In other words, they can't prohibit fighting words that insult race or religion while allowing others. Now, this is sort of interesting. This is like a throwback to that time, place, and manner stuff we were talking about. You know, you can have some valid restrictions, but you can't do it inconsistently. You can't say, okay, the KKK, you're not allowed to burn a cross, and at the same time allow somebody else to do something similar. You can't regulate speech based on content, based on the opinion, based on what the person is trying to express. That becomes almost universally a strict First Amendment problem. Now, I think you could validly say there's other reasons why you could ban burning a cross, and that's why I'm going to fast forward to another case called Virginia versus Black. This talked about something called, quote, true threats. Not real fighting words, but it creates a sort of a subclass of threats. So in that case, there were two different factual patterns. One, you had it, I think, some of this I'm spitting from memory here, so forgive me if I get it wrong. On one fact, there were two different cases that sort of get consolidated. And it was about a Virginia law that says you can't burn crosses. And I think what happens is this. One of the cases, there was a rally on private property, probably KKK people, white hat guys, who burned a cross. You know, they burned a cross for their own expression, whatever it would be. And then juxtapose another situation where somebody actually burns a cross on the front lawn of a black family or somebody or another citizen. I don't think it matters if it's black, white, or whatever. Now, the court sort of draws this distinction between what's a true threat and what is expression. There are a lot of laws. Ohio particularly has something called menacing and aggravated menacing. I'm not allowed to threaten you. I'm not allowed to say, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kill you. And if it's a credible true threat, not just a euphemism, then the court can, then it's a crime. And in Ohio, it's a misdemeanor crime. And if you do it with a weapon, it changes things even more. So that's a true threat. So if I burn a cross on somebody's lawn and the idea is to threaten them that I'm going to kill them, then that goes to my subjective intent. What am I doing? I am threatening you. That's a true threat. And those are going to be considered true threats and not protected speech. On the other hand, the same conduct, burning a cross, but in a different setting, is going to be protected speech. Get it? Maybe. It gets confusing, but it has to do with the intent of the person doing it. So if I'm just doing it for the public to see, hey, look, I'm burning a cross and I'm not specifically threatening somebody, then it's going to be protected. But if it's specifically intended to target somebody based on race or any other reason, then the state or the local law can prohibit it. Now, what laws are there? Typically, you're not going to see laws that are so specific. You're not going to see laws that say you're not allowed, well, crosses you might actually. But generally, you're going to see people charged under these laws as something called like disorderly conduct, breach of the peace, or whatever it is. So the guy we're talking about who's going berserk because he's been misgendered or she's been misgendered, whatever it would be, that person is now screaming and yelling swear words, out of control, refusing to go with the police officers, whatever the situation is. You know, now we've got both sides of the free speech debate. On the one hand, is that protected speech? Could that person then, because that person is simply using speech, be charged with a crime of disorderly conduct or breaching the peace? And the answer is probably yes. That would probably be a valid time, place, and manner restriction. So that it would work out this way. That person would go to court and say, look, you've charged me with disorderly conduct for exercising my right of free speech, of screaming and hollering and calling the cops no good, rotten SOBs. And the other side's going to argue, well, now, look, you were charged with breaching the peace, not based on the content of your speech. The guy's going to say, no, as applied to me, this law that might generally work to prevent disorderly conduct, but as applied here because it applies to my speech, it's unconstitutional under the First Amendment. I think that one, I think that conviction would survive. I don't think that person would have a valid First Amendment claim to defend against the disorderly conduct charge. Let's flip it around. What about the police who misgendered this person, who offended this person, who said, you're a he instead of a she, or you're a she instead of a he, or maybe called him a name or did whatever? What about that? Are those fighting words? Now, under the old Chaplinsky doctrine, they're not. One, because nobody ever, the court doesn't like Chaplinsky, and I'll just say it. I'll say it out loud. I'll say it here. I think if that case is decided today, it would go the other way. But anyway, it wouldn't fit anyway because that is not an intent by the police, or that is not, that the test is not how the person took it. The test, rather, is what is generally reasonable. And I don't think that would pass, or that would create a fighting word situation. You see both sides of it, and it gets really confusing and it's really complicated. But the First Amendment is always lurking out there. It's always out there trying to, and we have to weigh our laws against it. And there might be laws that say generally prohibit some sort of conduct, and it gets sort of wrapped into a First Amendment challenge because of the way it's being applied. And there are other laws, like in Virginia versus Black, that, or maybe this RAV case we talked about in St. Paul, that typically, or that would focus directly on a certain conduct like burning a cross, and what the law does will sort of dictate how it gets challenged and whether there's a First Amendment problem. Confused? Yeah, maybe. So am I. But the reason it's confusing is because it's confusing. There are lots of cases on it. Start a discussion here, guys. I'll try to jump in when I can. We'll keep doing it. Now, oh, by the way, generally speaking, since Chaplinsky, courts are almost universally saying that police officers, and I'll see if I can find the case, that police officers, you know, you can, like a specific word to them, telling a cop he's a no good rotten pig or whatever you're going to say to a police officer, generally speaking, that is going to be protected speech right now. That is going to be, you can't be accused of crimes based on that. Now, assaulting a cop, telling a cop I'm going to kill you, that might be charged as aggravated menacing or something else. But just calling a cop a name, since Chaplinsky, courts are sort of universally saying, wait a minute, you got to have some thick skin if you're going to be out there on the streets doing this job. You can't charge somebody just because they called you a no good rotten pig. Agree or disagree, that's what it is. We are not England, fortunately. We are the United States. We still have a constitution. We still have a Bill of Rights. And they put the first one first for a reason. If you got a question, you want to hear more about this, you want to break it down even further, chop it up, get really into the case laws and geek out, I'll be happy to do it. But this is just an overview. Leave me a question in the comments or go to lawyertalkpodcast.com and send me a comment there. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant. Check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.